doing tonight?
Oh, yeah. As you just watched us, we have just chugged two Bronx
Banner Ales.
Banner Ales.
Yeah, we are two beers in. This is the part of the show where we have to do all the logistical introducing of the show moments after chugging 24 ounces of beer.
I know. If I forget my name, which is Cody Lindquist.
And my name's Charlie Todd.
We are a married couple. Mm-hmm. We love politics.
And also beer.
And beer and each other. And so we have a tipsy political roundtable where we bring on some guests. We chug two beers, which you just saw. And
who's here for the first time? Who's never seen the show? Clap your hands or raise your hands.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There we go. You both. There we go. Welcome.
Thanks
Welcome
for coming.
Welcome to the show.
We are also a podcast.
Yeah, that's
we are
right.
not just a show.
You can listen to this on a podcast tomorrow and hear yourself laugh and clap.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what I love? I love going to a show and then the next day just listening to it.
I want
to
hear it again.
I was like, what did I miss?
But we record podcasts in between our live shows. So
yes.
Do subscribe to our podcast. And our next show will be March 27th here at the UCB Theater East.
Yes.
And Baratunde Thurston will be our guest, author of How to Be Black. Very funny guy. So come see that show.
Yeah.
And now I think it's time to bring out tonight's panel. What do you think, Cody?
Two Beers In, a Tipsy Political Roundtable is the name of our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
No, we same had, as the we, show.
Audience wants to know the name of the podcast. It's the same as the name of the show, Two Beers In.
Yep.
Hey, there are no dumb questions.
No dumb questions, guys. We are in the age of Trump.
We wish our president asked questions.
Wouldn't it be funny if he had like a thirst for knowledge or like information?
Well, he actually said today, like, it turns out healthcare is kind of complicated.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what? What? I thought it was just like the simplest thing ever.
Let's meet our panel. Let's bring our panel up.
Woo!
From The Daily Show, it's Hallie Haglund.
MTV News, we have Rachel Zarrell.
And from Mass Mejor, it's Eric Cunningham.
Woo, woo, woo. Okay. You sit there. You sit there. Guys,
welcome,
like I
guys.
Said, we've all had two beers.
Yeah, everybody.
That's how it works. Sometimes it's a little clumsy to start.
Rachel's had two wines, so...
Rachel is going to really come at you with some information about wine. Although, you know what I think? In some ways, I think it's easier to chug wine, but then the aftermath is worse.
Well, I look forward to that.
we'll find out.
10 minutes, you're going to start making no sense. How do you guys feel?
Getting some burps.
This
out.
Is the burp section
yep.
of the show.
Very
where we
normal.
Talk about how
our guests always burp.
Yeah, how much we burp.
So first thing we wanted to talk about was the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
No, we have to talk about the Oscars. We're going to talk about that all night long.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about the Oscars first.
No, the whole night. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, that was crazy last night when Moonlight actually won the Oscar. That's all I have to say.
No, it was crazy.
I was so happy, but that's all I have to say. That's it. Anyone have anything else to add?
What do you think it would have happened if it happened in reverse?
I think they would have been like, we're just gonna have to take a pass on this one. Yeah. Like, you cannot, like...
It's a stage full of African-Americans after the past couple of years when they were
They've taken
nominated.
Enough from black people, okay?
They could just give them
this one.
Emma Stone, like, ripping the Oscar, like, out of the paws of an 11-year-old boy.
Oh,
just like, I'm sorry, that's for me. I sang really well.
Technically, Emma Stone won Best Picture last night. That's what was on the card. Was her
oh,
name.
Yeah.
So
she is a national treasure.
An actress has never won Best Picture before, no. But she did it.
There's a first for everything.
Moonlight was a much better movie.
Oh,
was,
much better.
Beautiful
so
film.
Good. Everyone, it was great. And then La La Land was just like, that was okay. Some people danced. They didn't sing very well, but like, that was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It was good.
I don't think anyone was disappointed great. That La La I only saw people rooting against La La Land.
Yeah, I was just like, listen, I am a white actress. And I am sick of white people acting. I am. And it's not good for my career. But, you know, I'm sick of it.
Well, the truth is that almost the entire country has seen none of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture. I mean, your brother was at our apartment last night in from Ohio. He didn't know the first thing about any movie. Because if you look, it's interesting. If you look at, like, the movies that made money this year that people went to see, none of them are on the list. And that's always kind of been the case. But I think it really was pronounced this year that... You know, I think like in the top 20 movies, none of them were nominated for Best Picture.
So. That's true.
Except Oscar-winning Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Congratulations.
I didn't watch that. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about that before we got into the like super depressing shit.
Well,
about...
Cody, you also have a question that you wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah, actually, I do. So this question is actually, we'll start with Rachel. So Casey Affleck won last night, and he was accused of sexual harassment by several women. And Mel Gibson was nominated, even though he's a fucking anti-Semite, and Donald Trump is president. So so here's a question. What do you have to say to lose power and accolades? Like, who do you have to offend for people to just, like, give up on you?
Ooh, that's a good question.
If you're a white guy, yeah. If you're a minority or a woman, like, you could say or do anything and people will
write
stop.
Write some emails, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
if you're a white guy, I think probably just, like, saying something against Chick-fil-A will fuck you over, like, yeah. Just like that's something true. Really basic.
Oh, actually, Milo Yiannopoulos encouraged...
Excellent pronunciation of his name, by the way.
Thank you.
Pedophilia, that's the line, I guess. Yeah.
You can't advocate for blowjobs for 13-year-olds by adult men. If you do that, you will lose
although
your job.
There's still... Well,
were you going to defend that, Hallie?
No.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yes, I was going to say, you know, I think you can be in love, you know? No, I'm just kidding.
Let her speak at CPAC.
No, I was going to say, I mean, that didn't put Woody Allen out of the mix, so maybe it's not even... I mean, who knows?
I forgot about Woody Allen. Guys, is this no is line. So depressing.
Roman Polanski, yeah, there's plenty of examples. Well, we learned with Mel Gibson, what is it, about 8 years? That if you're anti-Semitic, you got to take 8 years off from the Oscars or whatever it was.
That's true. You know what? He's learned his lesson in 8 years. He's learned. Yeah. Oh, God. Let's move on to Trump. That's just such a better topic.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And what's going to happen? Hallie, we wanted to ask you, just since you're in comedy news, and, you know, I could see somebody like, you know, Trevor maybe could host it. But do we know who's hosting it yet? I don't think so.
No, they don't know who's hosting it.
Are they going to still have it without the president?
I think so. I mean, the president, like, who was the last person? Nixon didn't go once. Reagan didn't go.
Because he got shot.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's why? The only reason he skipped it was because...
Yeah, he, like, sent a message.
There was such bullshit that he didn't go. It's like, I get it, you're in the hospital, but, like, come on.
We threw this dinner for you. Okay? But, yeah, I think I assume they'll still have it. And I wonder, actually, I sort of was under the impression that it had been offered to comedians who like, weren't willing to do it, sort of behind the scenes when Trump was still involved. And I kind of feel like now that they're not going to have to do it to his face, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll do it now. I'll say whatever. I'll go there.
Of course. I feel like they're all just going to come out of the woodwork and just like, hey, yeah, I want to be a part of this now. Now that there's no threat that my career will be absolutely ruined. Because no one's going to watch it, but people who are excited to watch it.
But there were plenty of good comedians like Colbert who did the White House Correspondents' Dinner during Bush. I mean, I feel like maybe people were saying no just because he's hit kind of Hitler. Like, you know, like maybe sure. I just don't want to be, I don't want to show up and like, you know, make little jokes at someone who's this bad.
Yeah.
Maybe. The thing is, like, you know he's going to watch it. Like, he's definitely going to... There's no planet on which he's not going to tweet about whatever they say there. Like, he's so obsessed with himself, he has to know everything anyone ever says about him at any time, in any corner of the world.
He's also had a roast before.
Right.
Right? He had a Comedy Central roast?
Yeah.
So should we just, like... rerun that and call it the White House Correspondents'
Dinner? But Lisa Lampanelli is not fake news. I mean, he would have to go up against CNN. You know, that's like even worse.
Yeah, wasn't there something crazy that came out about like the things that he would and would not accept jokes about?
There was only one thing that was off limits,
which was his money. Right.
That's right.
Yeah. The amount of fucking his daughter was totally on the table.
That was fine. Jokes about his hair was fine. Jokes about how much he's actually worth. Not allowed.
Yeah.
I think that means he ain't got no money.
Got to see the tax returns.
But I feel like it wouldn't be, I mean, I feel like Colbert is a perfect example that it wouldn't be like normalizing him to do the Correspondents' Dinner when he's also there. I feel like it would have been such an opportunity. Like, it's a shame.
Are comedians relieved, do you think? And the press? Do you think everybody's just relieved that he said no, that he's the bad guy?
I don't know. I mean, I think it I wish that it would have happened and that they would have gotten someone who wasn't like in the bag for him, that it could have been like a really heated moment, but I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I'm sort of relieved that people don't have to make up like to joke around about this guy who's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of hard when, I mean, just he's been so aggressive against the media, it would be hard for everybody just to show up and have dinner together at this point.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's no like celebration and them just all putting everything aside, joking around like lightheartedly about it.
But that wasn't what happened with Colbert or
Colbert
John. Like, I feel like it was very uncomfortable in both situations, but like that's what made it so powerful.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a ruffle your fucked up hair moment or something.
But isn't there, and maybe I'm thinking of a different dinner, isn't there a part where the president gets to tell jokes and be funny?
Absolutely,
and like have
yeah.
fun?
No, like,
yeah.
Like Trump out, like dropping the mic.
Yeah, where he's like sort of teasing everyone about his Muslim bans and all this stuff.
But that's so, those moments are so illuminating about him because like at the Al Green dinner, right?
Al Smith.
Yeah.
Al Green dinner was... The Al Green dinner was when everybody just had sex with each other.
Yeah, we call that an orgy. Yeah. A White House orgy.
Sorry, that's the one that I went to, so I always get them confused. No, but at the Al Smith dinner, like he was so incapable of making fun of himself and could only like insult his wife that like I feel like that like these moments of him exposing himself more and more are like only welcome opportunity.
Well, there's a campaign on Twitter to get friend of the show Anthony Atamanek to play Donald Trump that night. Noted Donald Trump impersonator, the best Donald Trump impersonator.
The best. True.
Tweet at White House Correspondents Dinner and ask him for Anthony here from UCB to do it because he's amazing. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the town halls that have been happening. Because they've been amazing. It's been my favorite TV show this season is old white people yelling at congressmen. I have to admit that I'm having a hard time reconciling the fact that my least favorite television show of 2009 was the same show, old white people yelling at congressmen. So I guess I'm wondering, like, am I just a hypocrite or is it because... they were misinformed forever. Eric, what do you think?
I think there was I love watching those clips too, and I think there's something. And I don't want to give a shout out to maybe I do want to, but there's this one congressman whose video I saw, and I think is he's in from Florida. I think it's Matt Gaetz, but he came out and was just like, I disagree with almost everybody in here, but I'm just going to listen because that's kind of my job.
Was it Tom Cotton?
I think his last name is Gaetz, G-A-E-T-Z. And again, he was just like, I don't agree.
He said this to the crowd?
Yeah, he's I don't agree with what you guys are saying. We disagree, but it's my job to sit here and listen, and he's going to listen. And he didn't like say like, oh, I hear you, but this, that, and the other. It was just like, I'm going to hear you. Okay, I heard you. And you're like, good, at least you're listening. And I think that's kind of like maybe a difference between what we kind of want our Congress people to do and maybe what they end up doing of just like, here's why you're wrong and I'm right. I'm like, well, I'm your boss. So you have to at least listen to me.
Or you could be like Marco Rubio where you are too afraid to even face them because they're going to yell at you.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's just being yelled at.
Gomer, who said he can't go out there because he's going to get shot?
Yeah, Gomer. Gomer. Yeah. Or Gomer. Yeah.
Wait, Louis Gomer? Yeah. You're just being too proper. It's Gomer.
I know. It's Gomer.
Louis Gomer from Texas.
Louis Gomer.
Actually, it probably originally was Louis Gomer.
No, Louis Gomer, who's like super pro-gun, A rating from the NRA, says, I can't hold a town hall because what happened to Gabby Giffords might happen to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
Gabby Giffords was like,
everyone should have guns, but then I need to hide in a fucking bus because someone's going to shoot me. What a nightmare, guys.
Well, it's just that I think I read today that Trump was, I don't know if it's an executive order or what, but that Trump was going to push for guns in schools. And places where guns have not have been allowed have included the RNC convention,
his
inauguration. Like every time Trump was
hotels.
In a public place, yeah, Trump hotels don't allow it. But let's get him in schools. Yeah. Good idea.
The Bears. Have to look out for the Bears.
But I mean, so I love these clips of people yelling at congresspeople. I really love it. Like, I sit in bed at night and watch three more before I go to bed on Twitter.
I know it. I know
it's great. I mean, you know, Joni Ernst getting yelled at. That's great.
Nothing like Jason Chaffetz getting yelled at. So satisfying.
Yeah, Jason Chaffetz was awesome.
Well, what's great to me about it is that it's old people. That's what I love about it. It's not just like, you know, like young, like college students in like pussy hats. It's
Right.
Old people, I'm like, yeah, my grandma's fucking yelling at you, bitch.
Right, whereas in 2009, when it was like old grandmas and grandpas yelling, it was like, okay, I get it. These people are old rich Republicans or old misinformed Republicans. I don't know. But I guess a Republican would get that same feeling of delight that I feel if it was like a, you know, 22-year-old African-American lesbian with a pink pussy hat screaming at a Democratic congressman. Maybe, right? Everybody following my logic? Just like it's more satisfying to see the ones in Iowa where it's like, oh, these people are not paid protesters.
Well,
as everybody's
that's what
accusing
I think we find.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exactly. I think it's more satisfying because you agree with the people who are yelling at the congressman. No,
you are a hypocrite. Yes. That's basically what we're saying.
No, it's not. I don't even think it. Like, I feel as long as you like acknowledge your biases, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
But I had the same impulse in 2009 to say like these people, it's AstroTurf. This is like fake.
Me too. Or like it was like the Koch brothers are behind this.
Karl Rove, you know, is getting people on saying on Fox News encouraging this or whatever.
Right. No, but I never thought that's a difference though. I never thought that those people in town halls that were going to town halls from the Tea Party were paid.
I thought,
thought they were crazy.
Misled by Fox News, but not.
Sure,
not
they
paid.
Were being misled. I agree with that. But no, I never thought. I mean, when you look back at the tapes now and the media is showing a lot of the tapes, like replaying these things, people were screaming, you know, Obamacare will kill my mother. Like, you're going to murder my family. We're like, we're trying to just give them health insurance. Like, how is that murdering them?
Yeah, it's sort of amazing that this year the theme is take away Obamacare and you will murder my family. Like, it's just the fact that it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm.
It's like, amazing. I don't understand. We are literally trying to give you access to health insurance.
But what about all those stories where there's these rural voters who are saying they voted for Trump and yet... Now they're getting their health care taken away and they don't understand what's happening to them.
Right. Like, and they didn't believe that it would.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, this is sort of a segue, but it reminds me a little bit of like Caitlyn Jenner saying, wait a second, like, why are you taking my rights away? It's like, well, did you listen to what he said to you? Like, were you listening at all?
Well, that's actually the next thing we wanted to talk about, which is that there's been... No, no, it's a great segue.
Actually, thank you for segueing the question that you didn't know was going to happen, guys.
No,
that's
but
what happens
Trump,
when you drink beer. You're just, like, on this, like, symbiosis.
So Trump is reversing protections for transgender children in public schools. So Obama had put something in, made an order where they can use the bathroom of their choice, and Trump has reversed that. So... I guess, like, my question is, like, what is the fucking obsession with bathrooms? We've talked about this on the show before, but, like, I feel like Republican congressmen have a unique obsession with people looking at each other's dicks and vaginas in bathrooms.
I have never seen a vagina in a bathroom. Ladies, has anyone seen a vagina in a bathroom?
Especially a women's room, like a men's room. Like, I mean, if they don't have dividers between urinals, you can glance and see another dude's dick, all right? And
specifically the lady, they're always worried about a man dressed as a woman coming and looking at a vagina.
And
how do you see a vagina in a lady's room?
They're peeking through the cracks of the stall.
And then you can't see a vagina. Sticking my leg up, like showing my vagina through the crack in the stall. Like, what are you talking about?
And you know, if they saw a vagina in the men's room, they'd only be excited about it.
You're right.
But I guess, seriously, guys, when you're
have
in
you ever
middle
seen a vagina
school,
in the bathroom?
I've never seen a vagina in the bathroom.
I actually think most women have never seen a vagina besides their own.
I mean,
like,
I don't,
in real life, unless you're obviously lesbians have seen vaginas. I'm not a crazy person. I know that that's true, but like most women,
I
if
hear
you're
lesbians
like,
just close their
just
eyes.
Seen your friend's vagina, like no, it's a real hard thing to see.
Nobody wants to.
I'm not even.
Once you have one, you don't want to see another.
That I think vaginas are beautiful. I love mine, but I'm just saying I don't think that like it's a thing that you see casually as a vagina.
It's not.
It's got to be
thing.
A whole thing.
Yeah, like in, if you go to a lock, if you're a man, you go into a locker room, you're probably going to see a few dicks.
A dick is just
but,
out.
But it's but just the way the vagina is positioned anatomically.
You're not going to see it.
You might see a little pubic hair, but
are you out of your element?
No, I'm like I'm picturing that this conversation is happening like in Congress of like, well, vaginas are anatomically different.
It's like Marco Rubio's like, yeah. Well, if you see a vagina.
And like some congressmen are like, what are vaginas like? Oh, that's, okay. Oh, writing yeah, things down.
Just imagine Mitch McConnell saying the word vagina.
It feels like congressmen think vaginas like spill out like a dick. Like, like I unzip my pants and my vagina just falls out. To be fair, I do pull my breasts out when I pee, and I do it, and I pee in a sink, not in a stall. So it's a, but that's just like my way of doing it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I mean, it's ridiculous because there was a political cartoon or somebody had made a image on Twitter that I saw today just of a man who had transitioned from a woman who was in public schools standing in front of a bathroom with two choices, you know, and like the women's room was like illegal, you're a predator, and the men's room get yelled at, and the men's room is get bullied or get beat up or whatever, and it's ridiculous. Like I feel like the way that these Congress people think of things and the way Trump thinks of things is like this Bugs Bunny thing of a man putting on a wig and like going into the women's room. But
what episode of Bugs Bunny have you been watching?
That's a classic Bugs Bunny trope of him dressing up, not going into a bathroom, but just dressing up, a man dressing up like a woman to fool someone, a hoax.
Fake news.
But
like lighthearted about it, but like it's the cruelest situation to like stress someone out in, because like when you really have to go to the bathroom, like that's, you don't want to be worrying about politics. It's so bad.
Right.
Your urethra is not thinking about like what gender specific bathroom would you fit in according to your birth certificate. It's bullshit.
All right. Moving on.
No, I think we should talk about
so
how people pee.
Yeah. How badly have you had to go to the bathroom?
Just kidding. All right.
We've talked about the Affordable Care Act a little bit already tonight, but I want to talk about it a little bit more and see what everybody in the panel thinks about what's going to happen and if maybe these Trump voters who might lose their health insurance might turn on him. And then specifically, I want to highlight a Paul Ryan tweet that I think is a Hall of Fame dumbass tweet. He said, "Freedom is the ability to buy what you want to fit what you need. Obamacare is Washington telling you what to buy regardless of your needs." So basically the premise is like freedom, it doesn't account for poor people, right? Like freedom is being able to buy what you want. Well, motherfucker, most people can't afford what they want. And that's, I think that's the fundamental disconnect with Mr. Ayn Rand. So what do you guys think is going to happen? Do you think they're just going to say, fuck all you guys, and repeal the law and replace it 3 years later with something terrible? Or are they feeling the heat?
I don't feel like they are organized enough to repeal it. Like, it really seems like, I know they very much want to. Paul Ryan is like a classic movie villain. Like, I really on a daily basis want to punch him in the face. But... It just seems like they are running around in circles and they have all these wants for wanting to repeal it, but they don't actually have any ideas for how to accomplish it. And it seems like it's going to reach a point where they're like, sort of with the immigration ban, where they're like, oh, well, we're going to go back to the drawing board because we don't know what else to do.
But they've been drawing for like 6 years.
Yeah, but
right?
Charlie, I don't know if you've heard this, but healthcare is complicated. It's like a new thing I learned this week. Yeah.
It does feel like, I feel like I was talking to my wife about this the other day. It feels like just the last, 5 weeks has been the government just treading water. Nothing like small changes and then they get pushed back. But there's nothing like, we haven't started new wars. We haven't repealed anything. We haven't done all these like nightmare things that I hope do not end up happening. But I honestly don't think they're smart enough to figure out how to not tread water. that we just have to like wait for this guy to get impeached and then we can have Mike Pence do all the nightmare stuff that he's going to do. But at least we'll be getting somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there have been little things like executive orders that are like, oh, now coal companies can pollute streams. I mean, just I feel like while we're all...
Thank God for that.
You know, that was a burdensome little regulation.
Like, super burdensome, guys. But, you know, it's just really hard.
But I do think while we're obsessing over the fact that he said there was a terrorist attack in Sweden when there wasn't. In the meantime, there is policy bit by bit that's starting to come.
Yeah, the immigration stuff is like huge.
Yeah, the ICE stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you think that that they're winning based on messaging? And what I mean is a lot of this stuff the American people seem to be against, or at least their base, at least the Republican Party seems to be against, because they message it better. You know, Obama deported a lot of people.
Only bad dudes.
Bad hombres. But with the way they say it is, we're deporting people that, A, they're taking your jobs, and B, they're criminals. But just crossing the border is a crime. So therefore, anybody, whether they were brought here when they were a child, whether they were, you know, came here, had a baby and have a 15-year-old kid that they need to take care of. I just think, do you think that the Republican Party is better at just simplifying the message so that people agree with them?
I think maybe so far, but I think you're even seeing it already, that as soon as these things start to take root and people see the consequences within their community, they're like, oh, especially what's this, like the guy who was
Carlos?
Yeah, Carlos.
We all just know his first name, Carlos.
Carlos, who this guy who owns a restaurant who had a DUI 10 years ago, but he's this pillar of the community, and now he's been arrested, and now the community that's this largely like 70% of the town voted for Trump, right?
Southern Illinois, I think. Okay. This is, yeah.
And there's this huge, outpouring of protests. I feel like, I feel like whether you're Republican or Democrat, like, we live in a nation of immigrants, and like, that's going to touch your community. And as soon as it does, and you're like, wait, but I meant the people that I didn't know, you know?
Yeah, I think in the same way that like marriage equality came about because at a certain point everybody knew a gay person, you know, or their kids knew a gay person, or they watched an episode of Will and Grace. It's the same, like this article, this is a New York Times article today that we're talking about, where there's this community in Southern Illinois that all voted for Trump, and the guy that owns the one Mexican restaurant in town, Carlos, who apparently was a really fucking nice guy who like donated money to the community. And
also, guys, Mexican restaurants, I mean, you gotta support them. They're delicious.
We're going to lose a lot of good food if Trump deports everybody. No, but there's these quotes from these people that voted for Trump and who like want to be tough on immigration, but not Carlos, not right. The one Mexican person in this entire city, not him.
Well, I do think like the more you see these instances where it's like the woman who was pulled out of the hospital who had a brain tumor and was going to be deported, or the there was the woman who went to court to file a claim against her domestic abuser, and he had called them, and she was there waiting. They were there waiting for her to deport her. It's like the more that instances like that happen, it's just like you can't even fathom how evil somebody, anybody, any administration could be to do something like that.
Yeah, the worst possible situation is to have 10 million people in our country who are afraid to go into law enforcement to report a crime, to report something suspicious.
Terrorism. You know, let's say that the, you know, San Bernardino bombers had Mexican immigrants living next door to them, and they could have had information that said this person, you know, if you thought you were going to be deported from the country, you wouldn't come forward and say...
Never speak to a cop ever.
Ever. You wouldn't say, I think these people are shady as shit, you know?
I do love, Charlie, your point on the you don't know. I think your number is like 10 million people are illegal immigrants. There's 300 million Americans. I think they're just like, you know, 20 years ago, you didn't know who was gay in your family. You don't know who is an illegal immigrant that you probably do know. One out of 30 people, I guess if I'm doing the math right, is that correct? Would be right?
Two beers in math.
Two beers in, maybe, I don't know.
Perfect.
But yes, there are probably people whose, the whole point of it is that you don't say you're illegal. So you probably do know people right. who are illegal. I learned at this election that I knew friends who were illegal immigrants and who in a different scenario ended up being Trump supporters for some reason. And that's this whole side story.
Yeah, man. I want to hear that.
I mean, it's a religion thing. But
Always
a religion thing.
Always.
But it is exactly what you're talking about. It's going to take people to have to say, like, yes, I am an illegal immigrant and I am risking a big consequence from it just by letting you know that I exist as a human being. But I think people are going to come out more and just say, like, yeah. Yes, me too.
Although that's
me too.
Even more risky than coming out in the 70s or 80s because you could be kicked out of the country for it.
And a lot of people are, I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize this. Like, you might be an illegal immigrant that has a 10-year-old child. So the consequences for you getting kicked out of the country are severe. If your child is an American citizen, you know, who's going to take care of your kid when you're kicked out and your kid has to stay? I mean, that's the other thing people don't think about, like, who's going to take care of all these children that are legal American citizens and their children or their parents aren't? Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, not illegal nannies, I'll tell you that much.
I mean, New York will be devastated by this. Like, every stroller is going to be pushed around by, like, no one. There's going to be no one to watch
our every babies are going to be pushing their own strollers.
God, I'm serious.
Hey, that's jobs for American babies. That's not bad.
Push your own damn stroller, American babies.
We keep trying to get our kid to push his own stroller, but he's like such a fucking diva.
I want to give
he's
a shout out.
He's a white male, you know, so he's privileged.
I want to give a shout out to former President George W. Bush, who was on.
Shout out to George Bush.
I rarely say that, but he was
rarely on, like never. You never say that. I've never.
I like
heard
his
that.
Paintings. He's a good painter.
I did. He has one of a cat that looking in a mirror that I really like.
It's not bad.
I was like, I wonder how much that would cost.
It's better than Allie.
Allie's birthday's probably soon. Bad time for you.
He's definitely a better painter than me, so I'm not going to judge that. No, but he was on the Today Show today defending the free press, and he was throwing a little shade at Trump. And I'm going to read the quote that he said. I consider the media to be indispensable to democracy, that we need the media to hold people like me to account. I mean, power can be very addictive, and it can be corrosive, and it's important for the media to call to account the people that abuse their power, whether it be here or elsewhere.
That was a lot of... Yeah,
let's
that
give
was,
an applause break.
Don't fucking applause
for George Bush.
No, it's the apocalypse. We are applauding George
How
W. Bush.
How quickly we forget.
I know.
Seriously,
you know,
like, fuck
he said,
him.
Yeah. No. He said words. He said
been,
words.
He's, I'm really proud deal. Of him. You know, he's been waiting. He's been sitting and lying in wait for 8 years, being like, "There's my moment is going to come. George, your moment is coming." And he... And now is the time for him to, for people to be like, George Bush, we miss you.
He was right. He kept saying, like, history will judge me. Yeah. And then, like, all the Obama years.
Yeah, someone dumber came along. Who would have guessed?
He ended up being right. It's crazy.
No, obviously he was a terrible president, but he didn't do things like, say, so-called judges. You know, he didn't start a war with the judicial branch. And he
but he started a war!
It starts an actual... Just do... Trump's gonna do that,
but
too.
Not the judicial branch. Yeah.
Just wait.
Don't
just
start
wait.
A war where actual people died, yeah. Like many people.
Trump is starting a war with Australia and Sweden. We're gonna have plenty of wars.
But what about the fake news?
No, but seriously, I mean, I don't know.
I think that that is, like, seriously a dangerous path that I feel like this conversation keeps coming up about, like, oh, we thought he was bad. And I was like, no, remember, you guys, he was yeah. really, really
he
bad.
Was terrible.
And, like, so many Americans are dead because of him. And so many Iraqis are dead because of him. And, like, let's not, like... lose sight
Agree.
Of that. But I do
Agree.
Sort of because want- he lied to us, because he willfully lied to us, because like there I'll just
I agree. Yeah. I agree. No, how I agree.
But I do
want to
say like we have devolved so much that I actually appreciate that he said a sentence that made sense. Like that's the baseline right now. Like Donald Trump says incoherently rambles. I mean, that's just like, wow, the fact that we are praising George W. Bush for just like saying a sentence that had like a subject and
no,
a predicate.
That's
and
not
like,
why we're praising him. I'm praising him because he, even though he's a horrible president, even though he led us into a war and false pretenses and everything else that he did, he stood up today and said, you, the media, you matter. It is important and this is a problem.
Yeah, but he's nothing not an opposite said, anymore, and he lied to the media in order to use them as a tool to go to war. Like nothing that through his actions actually back that up. Like Trump is just a more grotesque version of the Bush administration.
Bush administration. Like, it's not, I'm concerned, even when I feel, you even specifically, but I'm like, I watched it today and I felt that emotionally. And then I was like, this is not good, because this was really fucked up. And like, this,
but what would you rather
the two
him
aren't,
do?
The two aren't unrelated. Like, we are here because of that step. Like, it was a road, you know?
That's well, true. Like, I mean, the dumbing down of our culture and the idea that, like, George W. wasn't, like, book smart, but he's someone you want to have a beer with. And then Sarah Palin came along. And then Trump is, like, the natural digression of... Yeah,
but
you're right.
But I also think that the...
And he was also... He also never... He was asked by fucking Kathy Lee in this interview, like, what was the worst part of your presidency? Still, today? No mention of Katrina. Yes, today. He, it's like, zero mention. Even when he went through all of that agony before in the press for failing to, like, yeah, he just...
What did he say was the worst
did he say
part
choking
presidency?
On a pretzel?
He brought up choking on a pretzel.
You brought it up? It's so embarrassing.
It was part of the interview.
He almost died. It was pretty
traumatic. Someone threw a shoe at him once. That was pretty bad. He got a shoe throw at him.
He's a piece of shit. He was a horrible president. I didn't introduce this to say that.
Why do you love George Bush so much is what I want to know.
I've been putting this the position to defend him, but I'm just saying that shit is really bad right now, and even horrible George W. Bush at least is saying that we deserve to have a free press.
I do think this is such a dumb analogy, and I hate myself for making it, but like, at the end of Return of the Jedi, Darth Vader throws the Emperor down the pit.
That's
Darth
right.
Vader's a shitty dude, but he did the right thing eventually. I'm not saying Darth Vader's a great guy,
yes.
But you have to acknowledge that he did something.
I love that we've just defended Darth Vader.
He's a good guy.
George W. Bush. Both friends of our podcast.
Also, Steve Bannon is the emperor. We can all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
Looks but like the emperor.
I do think that like this is all like sort of part of their big GOP manipulation tactic, where it's like they give you something that's really, really bad, and then they step back a few steps, and you're like, oh, it's not so bad. Where it's like they give you Trump, and you're like, oh, my God. And then
Mike
they give
Pence
you Pence.
Is the great.
Right. And then, yes, they give you Pence, actually, and you're like, oh, this is fine. He only gave a lot of people HIV. It's fine.
I think it's... Yeah. I personally, think it's pretty
personally
simple.
We're saying on the podcast, guys, Mike Pence personally gave a lot of people HIV.
We're not talking about the fact that he got rid of like the
news.
Needle sharing program.
No.
He has AIDS and he fucked
HIV.
A lot of people.
He went into
that's
the wrong bathroom.
And if they tell you that's fake news, that's the media.
That's what happens
bias.
When you go into
it's
the wrong
true,
bathroom, guys.
Because I feel it in my heart.
The other thing that I'll say about George Bush is the reason that he's doing this is because Trump made fun of his brother and called him low energy. Just like the reason he went into Iraq is because his daddy didn't finish the job. So, I mean, he definitely has his own craven personal reasons for attacking Trump.
So Trump is giving a speech to Congress tomorrow night. What do you guys think we can expect? Huh? Anything? What do you think?
I mean, it was on InfoWars. He personally gave it to InfoWars.
Wait, InfoWars has his speech for tomorrow?
They have bullet points, and at the very end of the article, they said, by the way, this wasn't a leak. This was given to us from the Trump administration.
Oh, wow. So did this happen late today?
It was today, yeah.
Oh,
we just learned that Alex Jones is not that much older than us, and it was terrifying.
How old is he?
I mean, I'm 38. I think he's like in his early 40s. And
I was like,
or else like 700.
Wait, you know when somebody had posted that he's 2 years younger than... who was it? Oh, the Canadian president, Justin Trudeau. And I was like, damn, because I would really love to see Justin Trudeau in person because he's so attractive. Sorry,
can
baby,
we just
I
talk about
you.
Justin Trudeau the rest of the night? I've had two drinks. I'm ready.
Yeah. Steve Bannon seems anyway.
You're also attracted to Steve Bannon? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm sorry.
I
meant Alex Jones.
Steve
they
Bannon.
Both, they sit... They sit in my same brain as like crazy people, but yeah.
Is there anything Trump could do tomorrow night that would make anyone on the panel applaud? Like, I mean, in your fantasy version, what would he say tomorrow night? Because we're all ready to sit
I'm
around.
I'm resigning because I'm tired.
Yeah, this panel. Yeah, I retire. I give up. But
I give up. I would love
beyond
that.
Beyond that, like how could he appeal to people who like us?
I think
is it possible?
I think there's maybe this doesn't answer your question, but I think there's so many different ways that he could, and at no cost to his like base or anything. Like if he were to just introduce a giant infrastructure bill, we would all be like, okay, I'll give that to you. Like, that's a good idea. And it's not like he hates infrastructure. He loves it. He could do something like that that would, in my mind, weaken how much I really dislike him. And I'm like, oh, well, he's not doing everything wrong. Like, that's a good idea.
Well, he did come out today and say that he was going to spend $54 billion more on military spending. So that's close to infrastructure, right?
Yeah, yeah. Except you're destroying infrastructure in another country, but yeah.
Cool. We agree.
But he also made that statement about when he drives through the tunnel and he looks up at the ceiling tiles and he's like, I wonder how many of those have fallen down. And I'm like, this is supposed to be the thing that you know about. Like, you built stuff. Like, this is your...
Is this a specific Lincoln Tunnel?
Yeah.
Complaint he has?
Yeah.
I didn't hear this.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about how when you're driving through the tunnel and you look up, there are these, you can see how many tiles have fallen down, and they used to be heavy. They don't build them heavy anymore, but they used to be heavy. And how many of those have fallen? Actually, that was the moment where I was like, this is the first moment that I have ever felt like I'm relating to you as a human being, because this is something I would wonder too.
Yeah, when he talks about LaGuardia, I'm like, yes. I agree. It is like a fucking Greyhound bus terminal with wings. It's the worst. Thank you, President Trump.
Cody brought up the military spending. We did want to talk about that. So he's called for a massive increase in military spending, 10%, $54 billion. He's going to pay for it by cutting the EPA and the State Department. And I think it's really maddening because the EPA, one, should be part of the defense budget, right? Because we're all going to fucking die because of fucking climate change, and we need to defend against climate change.
I think Charlie, by the way, is making so much money off of research for climate.
Yeah,
science.
FYI,
you should disclose that.
Yeah, no. But
that's the only reason anyone would believe in climate change, if they're making money off research.
Right, yeah. So that's the counter argument to being for saving the earth, is that scientists are making money off of it, I think is what you're getting at there, Cody. He wants to cut the State Department's budget, which is diplomacy, which is another way where we don't get our asses blown up, is by being diplomatic and by giving foreign aid to countries so that they don't have political strife and chaos. So I guess one question that we had here is, like, how are Republicans going to square this, like, enormous amount of defense spending with their fiscal conservatism? Or will they just ignore it because they're craven liars?
I'm on ignore. Yeah, I'm on team ignore.
I wonder, I have this very naive hope that, you know how they always talk about how, well, the Department of Defense is supposed to be like the most green, forward-thinking, like, department, that they're super concerned about the environment, and they consider that like a, they do consider take that very seriously. And I'm like, maybe if you give them the money, maybe we can just create a loophole through this, like, shitty Congress and backward president. And I don't know. Except, I have no answers for you.
Except I think that Defense Department that was worried about climate change was the one from about 3 months ago. And, you know.
Well, they haven't been able to appoint anyone new because everyone keeps having to withdraw. Like, all his
Mad Dog might not care about global warming as much as his predecessor.
I think Mad Dog gets a bad rap.
You like James Madison?
The guy named Mad Dog gets a bad rap.
He's surprisingly reasonable.
The guy I like to shoot people. It's a hell of a hoot.
That's a direct quote. Relatively speaking,
shooting people is soup's fun.
I want to talk about the Democrats a little bit. The DNC this weekend voted for Tom Perez to be DNC chair, and there's a faction of the Democratic Party that's outraged about that. I think it's, one, fascinating that people paid attention to the election of the DNC chair. I've never heard of that in my life before. I didn't know there was an election. I didn't know anything about the process. And I think that's good that we're more educated, and that I think there was a debate on CNN for the people wanting to be DNC chair. So that's good.
That's like a deep cut.
Yeah.
You watch that, that's like deep cut.
But it was on, it was on CNN. So, it should have been on like C-SPAN or something. So that,
it's,
I think,
fun
that
the
good
apocalypse makes you really informed.
Yeah,
you know?
Everyone is
just like loving it.
Becoming more civically minded, I think. There are people who are freaking out that Tom Perez won and not Keith Ellison. And there's I was on a website today, I think it's draftbernie.com, of this movement of people that want to draft Bernie Sanders to start a new political party. And we like Bernie Fine on the show. We agree with him a lot, but I'm worried that the Democrats are going to fuck it up again by dividing ourselves and fighting with each other. And isn't right now when we really fucking need to be on the same page? What do you guys think?
Strong agree. That idea sounds terrifying. That's another political party. We'd lose all the time.
Were any of you Bernie supporters?
I was not. No, I was not.
Okay.
I mean,
no comment.
We said like George Bush is a war criminal, but we won't be like.
You're like, I work like for MTV. I'm not allowed to disclose who I voted for.
Yeah. No, I like.
That's true.
Sure.
Like I voted for Ryan Gosling to win Best Actor.
I voted for Moonlight.
No, but I think this is something that like, we've talked about on the show like a lot. We like Bernie. I agree with a lot of Bernie's policies, but
by the way,
like
Bernie is not saying there needs to be a third party. These are Bernie supporters we're talking about, not Bernie.
Right, and I feel like part of the reason we lost is that we all didn't just fucking get behind the person. And I there are some years where I feel like. Thank you. One person that applauded for me.
Hillary is in the audience. So Hillary just applauded.
Hillary just got off of a walk in Chappaqua, and she came here to watch the show. Real big friend. She didn't want to come up and talk. She's shy. But I agree that this thing of like, you know, I have friends that are like, oh, this is a meeting for progressives. I'm like, well, what the fuck am I? I'm like a centrist now?
That's the thing that I
don't... I'm over 35,
that is
so
the thing
I
that
guess
I don't understand.
I might as well be dead at this point.
I was going deep online today and trying to figure out what the controversy was, and I read a long Glenn Greenwald article about it, and I guess that there's some people in that wing that are upset that it seemed like everybody was supporting Keith Ellison, and then... Obamaites and Clintonites like pushed Perez into the race, and I don't know. Maybe they have a point, but at the end of the day, like, don't we agree on 99% of everything? Like, Republicans and Democrats appear to disagree on literally fucking everything, and Trump has not lost Republicans. Like, if you look at his approval ratings, it's like,
and they don't agree with each other.
86-90% of Republicans
at
are
CPAC
like him.
The last time CPAC happened, Donald Trump did not show up. He was booed before, like when mentioning his name, and then this year it's like, yeah,
they got on the same page. Yeah. They have no problem being on the same page, even if Donald Trump said that your dad shot JFK 2 months ago or called you Little Marco or whatever, they get on the fucking same page.
The same thing happened with Congress. This mirror image happened, you know, in 2008 with like voting out rhinos and, you know, like what is it? The chafe, you know,
the wheat and the chafe, or yes, yeah, I don't know the metaphor exactly,
but like ultra conservative separating from
primarying people who were not
exactly.
Right.
So I feel like,
that's fair.
Yeah, it's not good at all. And like, it'll, but I feel like it's not unprecedented, and it makes me feel like Congress is becoming more and more irrelevant, because it's just like whatever's happening here doesn't seem to affect what happens in the executive national politics, and like it seems to all be about like local elections. So like, does it even matter? Honestly, I don't know.
It does seem like the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot more than anybody else. You know, they said, I think recently, that they think their next candidate that they put forward should be somebody who can like shoot a gun and like kills a deer and wears a cowboy hat. And it's like, this, why is this what you're focusing on? Like, there are so many more important things than like if somebody can kill a deer. Like, that just seems like the
where
wrong...
Where are you from? Because I'm from Ohio, and that's like a big fucking deal.
John Kerry could windsurf, and that really made me like him.
Do you remember that was the thing that was like, that asshole? And then we have a man who literally has a gold palace in the sky, and we're totally fine with that. But if you have a dressage horse, get the fuck out of touch.
That was
You're
Rom-
so
yeah.
out of touch.
Go I easy on Rafalka, okay?
Yeah. It's so funny.
Not the victim here.
On a lighter note, want to talk about Jewish cemeteries being vandalized.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for bringing that
Bring
up.
Bring it on.
I just wanted to... I feel like any like violent, despicable act that happens that doesn't fit Trump's narrative, he can't bring himself to talk about it. And the first thing I want to talk about is this weekend there was another Jewish cemetery, one in Philadelphia, I think, that was vandalized. And Trump was asked about the rise of anti-Semitism a couple of weeks ago. The first time he was asked, he responded by detailing his Electoral College victory.
By telling an Orthodox Jewish journalist.
That was the second time. A Jewish journalist from a Jewish publication asked him about it. That's when he said, "I'm the least anti-Semitic person you've ever seen in your life." Again, the question was not about you. It was about what do you say to people who are...
So, like, wouldn't that be like Schindler? Like, wouldn't Schindler be the, like, or...
Or any Jewish person?
Or any Jewish person.
Maybe any Jewish person would be less anti-Semitic than Donald Trump.
Like, I'm not anti-Semitic, but, like, I'm never going to say I'm the least anti-Semitic person because I haven't really done a lot to, like...
Maybe I would
Jewish
say,
cause.
Like, I am less likely to hate straight white men more than anyone. I might say that. But I would not say it about anything that I'm not, ever. But my question is, like, why is it... Finally, he did condemn it, I think, within the past week. But it was the first time I've seen him reading his whole... He had, like, a piece of paper. Like, Ben Carson is, like, wandering around behind him at the African American History Museum.
Because if you're going to the Africa... I love whenever he goes anywhere where black people are, he just brings Ben Carson.
Hey, Ben, I'm going to do
like
a black
wanders
thing
behind him in Omarosa somewhere. He's like, get those black people I know. We're going to a black place, and I need a black person to, like,
but
be there.
It was literally like him reading a hostage, like, script, like a hostage video, and he's just like, his fingers are on the lines, like, I believe that the people should not be anti-Semitic or whatever he said. But why is it so hard for him?
But then, after that, Sean Spicer yelled at the Anne Frank Museum and said that they're not doing a good enough job recognizing how much Trump fights anti-Semitism. It's like, is this the battle you want to die on? This is the hill you want to die on?
I mean,
fighting the Anne Frank Museum, really?
Those Anne Frank people are so partisan, though.
Right, right.
Always. Since, like, the 40s, they've been real partisan. Historically.
They're really for the party that doesn't want to kill them. Like, that's generally what it is.
So there's been one other incident that I want to talk about because I feel like no one is talking about it, and it was barely a blip in the news, which is that there was a dude in Kansas who shot two Indian immigrants. They worked for Garmin, the GPS technology company Garmin, and there was a bar. It's an old racist white dude, and he starts yelling at them, what kind of visas do you guys have? Get out of my country. And he gets kicked out of the bar for being a belligerent asshole, goes and gets his gun, comes back, shoots both of them, one of them dies. That is terrorism. We get into this thing like, oh, is it terrorism? Is it not terrorism? Terrorism is committing a crime, committing a violent act with a political agenda. And he had a political agenda. He didn't like immigrants, apparently. Trump has said nothing about it. And Sean Spicer said it's absurd to see any correlation to any of Trump's rhetoric. Why isn't this as big, like, as
it's
big huge, as, like, Fort Hood
in, it's
or...
It's huge news in India right now. Huge.
Yeah, as it should be. And why would India say... Why would any young, smart, bright, person who could work for a technology company in India or anywhere else want to come here? I mean, it's terribly damaging. You know, come to America, get shot in a bar.
I was laughing because you said a technology company as if that's the only thing that Indian people can do. I was not laughing because anyone got shot.
No.
They work for
Let's
a technology
Let's make it about him
company.
Being racist.
I'm just
because
saying,
those
like,
two specifically if you work look, for
no,
a technology
no, I'm just yeah, saying, yeah. if you look at our tech companies, which are, you know, the pride of the United States of America in terms of, like, we don't make anything anymore. We don't have, we no longer manufacture anything. But we have, you know, companies like, I mean, Garmin's a little low on my list because I haven't owned a Garmin in a while.
Because you don't have a car.
I think Google Maps and the iPhone probably destroy Garmin. But whatever, they're still in Kansas making shit. But I'm just saying, like, we want to attract brilliant people, whether it's tech or medicine or whatever it is. We want to attract those types of immigrants. We shouldn't be shooting them in bars.
But also, like, if you're not a brilliant person, you should still be able to come here. Like, I know you're not saying that.
Yes.
I'm just saying in general, like, there's definitely this narrative where it's like you know, people were so mad about the Oscar nominee who wasn't going to be allowed in here, or the, you know, there's like neuroscientist or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but also there's all the people who were just, you know, the guy who runs the Mexican restaurant, or like the guy who runs the bodega, or the people who aren't amazing who should also be able to, like, fucking come to America because...
Yeah,
everything.
You know. So
yeah,
we're going to wrap up, but last question. Have we forgotten about Russia?
Oh, I forgot the whole time. Yeah. This whole time I forgot.
Do you guys think that another shoe is going to drop on Russia? Do you think there's something there? Are we going to find out, you know, that... Is the pee-pee tape real? I guess that's what we all want to know.
No. That's not a question, Charlie. We all know the pee-pee tape is real. And here's why. It's way too fucking absurd for it to not be real. It's 100% real. And I don't care about fake news. That's true.
But there's been some hope. I mean, Daryl Issa was on Bill Maher this weekend, and he said that there needs to be a special prosecutor. There's two in these town halls. There have been like two main focuses, I think, that I've in the clips that I've seen late at night, lying in bed and jerking off to congresspeople. Wow. Being yelled
you are literally lying in bed next to me, being super quiet and jerking off to like town hall.
We are learning so much about you guys right now.
Guys, our marriage is so strong.
Watching Joni Ernst get yelled at just really gets me off. But I feel like Obamacare has been kind of number one, but Russia's been like, I feel like Congress is feeling the heat on the Russia thing.
What do you think, Hallie? You were going to say something?
Well, I also think it's like they're sort of, they're like their Trump card, so to speak.
Hey!
But like, I feel like Republicans are keeping that in their back pocket of like saying, let's not forget about this. This might be something that we need to talk about. Establishment Republicans like Daryl Issa, so that once you get what you want out of Trump and you're like, you're ridiculous and you're embarrassing our party, then we can pull it out and impeach you.
So after Obamacare is eliminated and after tax cuts for the rich have happened, then everybody gets on the Russia train.
I mean, I feel like it's like a tool. It's a tool that they keep.
I mean, they heard the pussy tape. Like they were around too. They know.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't see why. Why wait, though? You have Mike Pence in the wings who's going to do all this stuff. What is the holdup? He's better for, if you're a Republican, he's better for you than this guy who's going to like maybe be upset one day and nuke the whole world.
I feel like that's similar to when you talk about like, you look at a couple and you're like, why don't they just break up? Yeah. Like, obviously she would be so much better off. And it's like, yeah, you can say that when you're not part of it, but it's going to be total chaos for everyone's life who's part of that relationship if they actually do break up, and maybe it's better, but I feel like...
So Mike Pence is Colin Firth and Donald Trump is Hugh Grant in this analogy.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the other thing and I agree with you, Eric, like the sooner you rip the Band-Aid off, like I get that they don't want to lose Trump supporters, but if they rip the Band-Aid off now, it'll be the longer they wait to impeach him.
Pence isn't, I don't think, going to be as easily manipulated as Trump because Jesus.
Sure, but like they don't need to manipulate him. He's like already on board.
Pence's Jesus is some for convincing. Tax cuts, for kicking people out of the country. Like his Jesus is pretty bad.
Yeah. Wait, can I ask a question though? So I feel like as we talk about this, and I'm asking myself as much as I'm asking anyone else. So what so offended me over, you know, the last 8 years of watching what I felt like was a lot of Republican manipulation, it felt like it was so anecdotally driven that it wasn't about numbers. It was about these stories that were really affecting to the community that they were trying to target. And I feel like we've mostly just been talking about anecdotes. Like, are we falling prey to that same manipulation?
We're not talking about, like, fist bumps and, like, distractions like that, right? I mean...
With the, like, Obamacare dissent, it's like this one person is losing their health care and it's really fucked up. And
I see what you mean.
Versus, yeah, I just...
But that is, when we say that, we have numbers to back it up, right? That 20 million people would lose their health insurance, right? So I feel like what we're doing is taking it from macro to micro, right? Like we have realized that you need to speak to the personal, the emotional, in order, like we've been saying numbers and statistics for a long time and it's gotten us nowhere. So now we're trying with, what about Carlos, right? And on that note, We've ended with Jesus and Carlos, so I think it's 100%.
Everybody,
full circle.
Please visit La Fiesta Restaurant in Southern Illinois. Yeah. Carlos is in jail right now. We should all go to his restaurant.
Yeah, we love Carlos. Anyway, thank you so much to our panelists, Rachel Zarrell, Eric Cunningham, Hallie Haglund.
Thank you guys for coming to our show. We'll be back on March 27th here at UCB Theater East. Subscribe to our podcast, rate it and review it on iTunes, and please don't forget to vote in midterm elections.
Please, please.
Good night, everybody. Good night. You'll be Charlie and a few of the friends. Chug a couple beers and talk politics.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.